to our In Christ group, and I would encourage the congregation to take note of the young people and the young at heart people who are up in front, and to take time to thank them. Do you realize they put hours in for practice and preparing these songs of worship, and we appreciate that. And a word I haven't spoken for 7 months, 8 months now of being here, it's long overdue. I thought I would simply start by saying this morning, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of serving you as your pastor. It's a joy for Beverly and for me to be here, and I don't say thank you enough. Now that I've buttered you up, shape up and listen to the sermon. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Freedom, Sweet Freedom, based on our epistle lesson from Romans chapter 8, especially the first two verses where St. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death." I encourage you to follow the sermon outline on the green insert as we consider our theme, Freedom, Sweet Freedom. The story is told in former communist Russia of a legendary character named Rabinovich. And Rabinovich was the subject of many stories that people told about him as they were suffering under communist rule. One story was Rabinovich went on a trip, and he visited 10 successive cities. And he sent back home to his friends in Moscow a postcard from each of the cities. And the first postcard read, "Greetings from a free Warsaw." And the next postcard, "Greetings from a free Budapest." And the next postcard, "Greetings from a free Prague." And finally, the last postcard came. Rabinovich had made it to Paris, France, made it to a land outside of the communist rule. And the last paragraph, the last sentence on the postcard read, "Greetings from a free Rabinovich." He had made it. He was free. Freedom. Sweet freedom. It's the desire of all people all around today. Have you noticed your newspapers? Have you noticed the televisions? All around today, people and countries are striving for freedom. Freedom from bondage. But the Holy Bible speaks of another bondage. The most difficult bondage of all, spiritual bondage. Now today, if you've come to hear a happy, smiley-faced sermon, you've come to the wrong place. Today is a very serious message. It's a classic Lutheran sermon of law and then gospel. You will hear bad news. But in order to hear the good news, we must first understand what the bad news is. So please follow your outline. St. Paul in Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 8, holds up a mirror. He holds up a mirror for each of us to look into. And when we look into that mirror, we each must confess, as your outline suggests, "I am not free. I am a slave to sin." Paul speaks for each of us when he confesses, "I am caught in my own sinful nature." The text says in Romans chapter 7, "For we know that God's law is good, but I am of the flesh. I am sold into the bondage of sin. For what I am doing, I don't understand. I am not practicing what I want to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want." Paul is painting the picture of a tug of war, and you and I are in the middle of a tug of war of good and evil, and we keep succumbing to evil. we keep sinning. And Paul says it doesn't work to say, I'll try harder. It doesn't work to say, I'll resolve to do better. It doesn't work to say, I'll pull myself up and I'll save myself. Paul goes on to say, you see, I'm fleshly. When he says I, and when I use the first person pronoun I, I'm speaking for all of us. Paul says, I am fleshly. I am not spiritually minded. Verses 5 and 6 of Romans 8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and to set the mind on the flesh is death. St. Paul says, left to my own inclinations, left to my own desires, I do not naturally go after the things of God. No. Left to my own sinful flesh, I go after the things of the flesh, my own sinful desires, my own godless priorities. And Paul says, what's even worse, if you look in that mirror and honestly take a look, Paul says, what's even worse is that I am an enemy of God. Verse 7 of the text says, for the mind that has set on the flesh is hostile toward God. I'm not neutral. I'm not wishy-washy. I am hostile. I am an enemy of God. In the flesh, hostile to God, Paul says, the only conclusion he can come up with is verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So what has Paul told us about us in our sinful state? He has told us these things. I am fleshly minded. I am hostile towards God. I'm his enemy. And I can't please God. I am caught up in this bondage to myself. There is no get out of jail free ticket. I cannot get out. Guilt is my constant companion, Paul says, as I am at war with God and I'm at war with myself. Listen to Romans 7. For the good that I want to do, I don't do. But I practice the thing that I don't want to do. I see a law of God working in the members of my body, waging war, making me a prisoner. St. Paul says to you and me today, look in the law of God's mirror. Look at your habits. Look at the state of your relationships. Look at the past mistakes you've made in your life. Look at the present heartaches you are suffering and see clearly there your sin and your guilt. Feel the war that's going on between you and God and between you and your own heart. And trying to keep God's law, that is saying, I'll try to do better tomorrow, just doesn't work. Verse 7 of the text says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Paul says, I do not keep God's laws and commandments. I cannot keep God's laws and commandments. This is a wake-up call. You can't get right with God by trying to do better. The sad truth is, though, if you talk to the so-called normal person on the street today and ask this question of them, let's just say you were to die tonight, how would you hope to get to heaven? Those who study such things tell us that 8 out of 10 people say, by being a good person, by trying to keep God's laws and doing the best I can. But Paul has told us this just doesn't work because of our sin. Unless we get busy pointing our finger at all those people outside the church. In 1972, a thorough study was done of Lutheran church members. And if the statistic I'm going to quote you was true in 72, I bet it's even worse now in 2008. In 1972, when over 5,000 Lutheran church members were asked this question, how do you hope to get to heaven when you die? 4 out of 10 said, by being a good person, by doing good deeds. But the Bible teaches us that this law of man's achievements is a law of death. Proverbs 14:12 puts it this way. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of that way is death. The way that seems right unto a person is to earn or deserve or do good deeds, to earn God's love, to learn His favor, to earn heaven. But in such a condition, Paul tells us in our text today, I am a lost and condemned soul. Verse 24 of Romans 7 says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Part one of our sermon. Are you feeling good? Are you glad that you're here today? Do you have a smile on your face? Preacher, is there no good news? Aren't you supposed to comfort people, Pastor? I used to kid the students at the seminary, the calling of the pastor is twofold. You are to comfort the afflicted, but you're also to afflict the comfortable. We have been afflicted. Is there no good news? Until we know how bad the bad news is, how can we ever cherish how good the good news is? Let me illustrate it for you. A man went to see his doctor because a man had been having a hard time with his lungs and breathing and not feeling well. This man had been a heavy smoker his entire life. And the doctor put up on the x-ray wall, you've seen those where you flip the light and you see the picture, a picture of a man's two lungs. And he said to this man, you better sit down for this news. He said, these are the lungs of a man who have smoked his entire life, and at best, he's got 6 months to live. The man in the chair just turned white. My wife, my family, my job, 6 months to live. And when he was stewing about these things, the doctor said to him, these are not your lungs. But they could be unless you quit smoking. The good news to the man, these are not your lungs, was not good news unless he had first thought they were. The good news is not good news unless the bad news is truly bad. That's what we call in the Lutheran Church the law, and then comes the gospel. Now here we go. Paul says in this text, as he holds up the other side of the mirror, if you look carefully into the mirror of God's law, here you see something else. And he says to us, and it's on your handout, Roman numeral 3, I am set free in Christ. Listen to Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now comes Romans 8, verse 1, the epistle lesson for today. Listen to these sweet words. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say that again. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This has to be one of the top 5 verses in the entire Bible. It's one of the verses I've asked Beverly to promise will be preached at my own funeral service. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? When you put your simple trust in Jesus Christ and what He has done for you on that cross, your sins are forgiven. You are free. You are no longer under the condemnation of God's holy law. You are free. Free from the law of sin and death. Free of getting what you deserve. Who got what you deserve? Jesus did. So that you might get what He deserves. That's what the Scriptures call the great exchange. He got the justice of law and sin and death that you might get freedom and forgiveness. Listen to what Paul says. The theme of our sermon today, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. To quote Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King from the early 1960s, in his speech, "I've Been to the Mountaintop," he said these words, "Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last." By faith in Christ Jesus, by simple childlike faith in Christ Jesus, you are no longer in bondage to sin, no longer in bondage to death, no longer in bondage to that liar, the devil. Christ has achieved this freedom for me and for you by the means of his sinless life. One of the things we Lutherans are guilty of is always being in a hurry to get to the cross. Nothing wrong with the cross. We'll get there in a moment. But we forget that's only half of the gospel. The good news is Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. He fully kept all of God's laws and commandments. Why is that good news? So that when he went to the cross, he would be the perfect sacrifice to fully cover and pay for your sins and for mine. The sinless, perfect Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, went to the cross to take upon himself your bondage to sin, your bondage to death, your bondage to the devil. But he left that bondage dead in the grave. And on Easter Sunday, he rose, and his battle cry can be yours. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Because my Redeemer lives, I shall live as well. With us today is Jens. We've grown to love and know Jens. Jens, you're one of the largest German individuals I've never known in my life. You remind me of the license plate on one of my relatives' car. You can tell a German, but you can't tell him much. But today, this word of hope is for you. You don't realize Jens's mother just died in Germany. Jens, because of his immigration status, now can't go home for his mother's funeral. Would you take some time after the service to give a word of encouragement to our brother in Christ? But the word of hope for your mother, the word of hope for all of us sinners is this: because of Jesus' death for us and his resurrection, we can proclaim, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'm free to really live. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 11, the mind set on the Spirit of God, the mind set on the things of God is really free. Verse 11 says of our epistle for today, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. By faith in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will free you and raise you as well. And because His Spirit is in me, because Christ lives in me, St. Paul says, I know that I am a true child of God. Listen to Romans 8, 14 to 16. Listen to these precious passages. And when in this text the word Abba is used, Abba is an Aramaic term. Jesus is telling us we can call God Papa, dear Papa, Abba. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear and bondage. No, you have received a spirit of adoption as children by which we cry out, Abba, my Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Did you hear that? You are adopted children of God. You are paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And with his blood, Jesus signed your adoption papers. He has signed your freedom papers. You belong to him forever. Real life and real living begins with freedom in Christ. Jesus himself says in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life, and have life to the fullest. And so now, we fill our minds with what God desires so that we can live in this freedom. The freedom that God has for us is not just pie in the sky by and by when we die. The freedom that God wants for us to have is right here and now. No matter what this world throws our way, yet we can face it and say, yet I am free in Christ. That's why we have worship. That's why we gather together for worship. That's why you listen to sermons. That's why you're encouraged to come to Bible class. That's why we bring our children to Sunday school, that we might fill our minds and hearts with the things of God, that he might make us free, even in this sinful world. Well, it's time for the conclusion. Have you followed the sermon outline? You know we're about done. In the 1900s, there was a great escape artist named Harry Houdini. He billed himself as the Great Houdini. And he had a brag that he can go into any town or city in North America. They could throw him into prison or a jail, and within a matter of minutes, he could escape. And he kept his promise. And he kept his promise, and he kept his promise, and he escaped, except for one time. He was thrown into a jail. The iron doors clanked behind him. And as the guards left, he went into his belt and found his secret piece of flexible metal and began to jimmy with the lock. But after a half hour, he couldn't get the door open. After an hour, he couldn't get the door open. After 2 hours and his body bathed in sweat, he could not open that door. He was frustrated. His reputation was at stake. He was weeping. He could not get out of this jail cell. Finally, in utter exhaustion and frustration, he simply leaned against that door, and the door swung open wide. It had not been locked, but in his mind it was locked. And he couldn't find his freedom. But when he leaned against that door, he was free indeed. Your Lord Jesus Christ has opened the door of freedom for you. You don't have to live in a jail of bondage, of guilt, or fear, or sin. You don't have to struggle to set yourself free. Our Lord Jesus simply says to you this day, lean on me. And as we lean on Jesus, we celebrate his gift of freedom, sweet freedom. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.